Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
This is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
Tough break, man. Tough break for old Reuben Foster, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Portland. I thought you were talking about the NBA playoffs.
No, I mean, tearing ACL on OTAs.
Mine is guaranteed.
I mean, I don't know if his is or not, bro. I mean, remember all his issues?
Did they cut him?
No, but I don't know. Well, I guess you're right. Injury settlement, yeah. I guess you're right. I mean, he's had the domestic violence stuff.
If they never cut him and restructured his deal, still there. It doesn't matter what he did.
No, he changed teams. He's with Washington now.
Oh, that's right. He did get cut. They did have to resign. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he's under contract till 2020. Bump that. Like, the dude, if he gets paid or not, like, whatever. I mean, dude's a turd.
Very much so.
I don't want to see him get hurt, but he's a turd. I don't care about his money.
Well, I mean, I'm going to take the approach our text line takes with Telvin. Bump him. I feel no sympathy for normal people.
What is you going major pain?
Yeah.
You want sympathy?
It's between and syphilis. It's in the dictionary.
I love that movie, man.
That quote is...
The whole movie's amazing. There needs to be a remake. How long ago was that?
Pretty long ago.
We need to get into that one night. It's like movies that it's time for a remake of.
I'm afraid. They'll mess it up. Like, you know what? I mean, I know you don't. You probably never seen any of these. But, like, the Disney live action mess that they're really doing, like, they could have just left it at the cartoons. Everything doesn't need to be real.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Weren't they going to remake, like, Major League, though, at some point? Like, that's one I'd like to see remade. Like, the Longest Yard remake was good. With me. Like,
No.
I saw the text line. I saw it. It wasn't that long.
Yeah, but I was trying to think of it. But then you said the Longest Yard
remake was good.
That one I had vested interest in watching because one, Bert was in it. But that entire cast came to watch one of our games, and like they did a tour of the locker room, our practice. So the guy
was that long ago?
Yeah. Was it 03? 03 they came. And I guess the movie came out like 04 or something like that. Yeah, it was that long ago.
Wow. Wow,
but like that guy is really like was really big.
You teach me two football.
Yeah,
that guy,
and the guy the one who kicked the person. Wasn't he a wrestler or something like that?
Yeah, he was an MMA guy. Yeah,
yeah, like he's really, like really big.
Oh, he was. I didn't know that.
And you saw all of them, so I mean it was cool. Like that was like during that time Nelly was big then, so like seeing Nelly was like really like I mean that was kind of
Nelly did it right, man.
Yeah, that remake of Longest Yard actually released in 2005.
Okay, so then it was 04 when we saw him, and then 05.
Wow, so it was 15 years ago almost? Wow.
Now that you put it like that.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Man. Jags OTAs start tomorrow. By the way, you're listening to the Sports Den brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Hopefully you guys had a great ABC weekend. It's summertime now. You might as well just... ABC it every weekend. What I would do during the summer, if I were y'all, I can't do this, but if I were y'all, I'd probably take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and chill and get my work done, and then just go weekend Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So what they're done today, then.
Right, you got to recover. Yeah. Recovery is important. Like you can smoke your cigars on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right, but then go hard with ABC Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You know what? And they did go to ABC. I was at a cigar tasting on Saturday.
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Colhane's?
No, that's Thursday.
That's Thursday. Okay.
But it was a sponsor, Tobacco Cove.
Okay.
Uncle Dave always does the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And they treated me very well. And I'm going to tell you this. Best $5 I've ever spent. I got my cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And Pops doesn't drink any of this beer.
No, right? No.
But the beer was that cold.
Pops would have nothing to do with it if it's not Miller Lite.
No, I'm just saying, like, if Miller Lite was in that cooler,
he had approved.
He would have approved, because I don't know if it was just that hot on Saturday, or that Heineken and that what did I drink? I think it was both Heineken. Hit the spot. I sat there and was like, man, I need to go to – I was thinking in my head, like, maybe I should go to ABC and just
you
ask them
Pops would be calling
for
right
a
now?
Gallon of beer, like ice cold beer. Like, can you get – is that – where's Capasso? I need to know if that counts toward my hydration intake.
There's some water in it.
Yeah, because that's what it felt like. It felt like I was just drinking nice fermented water.
While I was out there working and
sweating. I had already worked.
Everything else, you're over here drinking and smoking. It's kind of how this show seems to go right now. James out here living his best life all over the place. I'm out here just trying to earn a nickel, man.
I was in there working. I was hiding the boost.
But make sure you go to thehumidor.com for your cigars. Type in Sports Den. You'll get 20% off and free shipping. OTAs tomorrow. I will be there. I will not be there for Doug Marrone's thing. Dallas has Oldest has a high school awards ceremony I got to go to, but I'll go straight from there, and I will be there. What I'm going to be looking for tomorrow, like 100%, is really only two things. This is what I feel like you can get out of OTAs.
Okay,
and I've said this before. I want to see the dudes that just look different, meaning there's a burst, there's a different speed. That, you know, I'm not saying a practice All-American, but you know what I mean. When they open it up, you just
see it.
Yeah, you look twice. And, like, you check down to see, okay, who's that? Rare that you see that in the NFL level. Because not because these guys aren't phenomenal athletes, but because they're all phenomenal athletes.
Yeah. If somebody, like, what was the turn name? Tyreek? What he did in that game against the Jack when he jumped and then he hit the ground and accelerated. That's special. You don't see that a lot.
Yeah, man. That's special. I've said that I've only seen it a couple times in Jacksonville. I saw it with Blackman. Just the way he effortlessly climbed up and just plucked balls out of the air.
Yes.
Was special. And funny enough, Corey Grant. Like, his rookie year, I remember going out there going, these dudes don't know the angles the first couple of days on this guy because he's got a different gear.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with them. So I want to look for that. And then I want to look really at the ease that Nick Foles goes through practice. And what I mean by that is with Blake, every throw is a struggle. Like, every throw, there. You know, you watch some quarterbacks and it's just nice and easy and smooth and, you know, short backstroke and just everything's – that's what I want to see. Like, I want to see, does Foles go through practice like that? And is he, you know, I don't expect there not to be timing issues or something like that, but does it just look easy to him? Does he look like an NFL quarterback, in other words?
That'd be nice to finally have one of those.
It would be. And oddly enough, for some reason, I'm very interested in Gardner Minshew.
I just want to see the personality.
I want to see arm strength, because if he's accurate, my read on Gardner Minshew before the draft was – I mean, in some people's eyes, it would have been great. He was Will Greer. Is good quarterback, but I just didn't think he had the juice that a lot of these guys have, like Drew Locke and Haskins and those guys. I want to see if I was wrong with that. Because if I am, then maybe their long-term answer's here. You know? Maybe this isn't a two-year stay until Nick Foles' contract's up, and then they have to go draft somebody in the first round.
That'd be nice.
That would be great. That is literally all I'm looking for, because the rest of it, like, can't tell y'all anyway.
That's true. So if I don't go, can I make my assumptions?
Sure.
Like, do they, like, take it attendance?
No.
So they would be like, oh, well, no, he has a pass. He had to have been there. How dare he talk about 12 personnel?
No, but I think you probably should go. But you can't talk about personnel anyway.
No, but if I didn't go.
Yeah, no.
But I'm saying now that I'm on the list.
I'm not about to get my credentials.
No, I got you. I'm just saying, like, if I mean, it's kind of like, you're like, you want to go, but then what if I want to talk about, what if I really want to get football specific that day?
You can.
And I want to break down 22 personnel or specific packages that the Jags may or may not run.
Yeah, I think.
And now I can't do it.
Well, you couldn't do it anyway.
Before we had credentials, we could talk about whatever we wanted to talk about.
And how often have we talked about that?
Yeah, but every it's time not about
we talk,
that.
Every time we talk about that, we get an email the next day of, guys, y'all got to explain yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if I wanted one of those emails this time?
I think our listeners are intelligent listeners. I think drunk, maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say some of the takes.
But intelligent. Like, when we talk about personnel and we talk about stuff, I think they're right along with us. But some people don't think that. So, yeah, say that to say don't talk about it. What would you be looking for if you decide to go? What are you going to be looking for? Anything in particular?
Yes. Hydration. What kind of who has the the Powerade bottle with the white stripe on it? Because I know what that is. It's a universal. Sugar. That's a universal football sign for the juice. Give me the juice.
I got to tell you, so Florida State's way too much sugar.
No such thing.
Way too much. I think the legend has grown, man. I took a sip of that at their spring practice.
And you straightened up, huh?
About went to a cramp.
I went
full body,
but nah. I would like to see, you know, how Fournette moves. Like, is he like, because he had a hamstring. So, does he have the burst that is he limited? Is he not really trying to cut? Also, you can see it if they're going to change the running game. Like, you'll see it now because like he's a blind dog in the meat house,
mm-hmm.
and if he's got to run the stretch. Like, then you're going to see some flaws and some flaws. And I guess, I mean, wide receivers are going to run routes and they're going to catch the ball and they're going to, well,
yeah, and that's the thing.
If you look bad and patting goes, then God bless.
That's why I gave the specific of what I'm looking at. And I'm sure, like, if you brought Tony Boselli in here, he could tell you, or Leon in here, he could tell you, hey, I'm looking at this on the line, right? I can't. I don't know. I have no idea. But
I mean, let's be honest. And I would tell Leon this. Leon, this is just – I might not tell Boselli because I don't have a relationship with Boselli. But I'd be like, Big Leon, you looking at all this. None of this matters until they put pads on, right? And he's going to be like, you know what? I mean, yeah, but at least they need to do it right. If they don't do it right without pads.
That's what I mean, technique-wise.
Yeah, this all got that part. But yeah. I'm going to be like, all right, cool. You're supposed to look smooth when you drop step
mm-hmm.
on the first real practice. Like, your legs ain't heavy yet.
Yeah.
No, I want to see. I want to see what happens, which I won't. We can see training camp. It's after training camp that they're no longer media is no longer invited to the long practices,
right?
Unless we beef with Jalen,
right?
Right. So I mean, but like I want to see that second week, the training camp. Is that slide as enthusiastic when them legs get heavy?
Second week of training camp. You talk about hydration. I'm gonna need the hydration.
Oh man, like it's. I want to go, and I wasn't thinking about not going just because I was lazy, kind of, because I like to sleep. But
it's at 10:45.
I saw – that's not the point. I don't have to do 5 a.m. anymore. I don't have a client until the afternoon. But I saw – again, I saw the mixtape that Tim Deegan dropped, and it was very parental advisory. It was very offensive to me.
Is that tomorrow?
Like, it's all week. It progressively gets hotter. Like, he literally just put 92, 94, 97, hell, and just kept going.
No, man, it's good tomorrow.
What's good?
82 at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay, I can take that.
Yeah, 85 at 11. We'll be out of there before it hits 90.
Okay, I can take that.
Yeah, we're good tomorrow. Now, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, oh, dear. Saturday, Sunday, 97, Monday, 98, and Tuesday, 99 before June?
Yeah, I'm going to what's up? What you doing Memorial Day?
I'm going to Beverly Beach.
Okay.
Down where Sully lives.
Okay, Palm Coast.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
With Sully or with Pops?
He's going to meet us down there. Pops okay. got a
Sully, shoot me an invite, man. We need something to do.
Come on down.
I'm thinking about shooting.
I'm going Sunday afternoon after our train, and then we rented like this little cottage thing. And so we're going to stay there Sunday night, and we're going to hang out Monday.
Cottage have air conditioning?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
How do you think I'm going to?
It could be like being trying to be rustic like how Floridians used to be.
No, absolutely not.
And I think I'll sleep.
806 says, I hope Josh Oliver shows signs of star potential. Josh, who is Josh Oliver?
I thought you knew. I thought maybe, you know.
Do you know who Josh Oliver is, Country, and we missed?
Is this one of the guys that we just picked up on the 90 man that I don't know about, the people I shouldn't care about? Because that's one thing Josh, I did learn.
Oliver.
Josh. When I was training the Sharks and when they were good, I learned not to.
Oh, he's talking about the. Oh, my bad. My bad. My bad. Yeah, the tight end.
Is that his name Josh Oliver?
Yeah.
Okay. I learned not to learn names.
I'm with you.
Because, like, I don't want to get to know you, and then now I've built a relationship, and then you're not here anymore.
Yeah, I was stuck, like, in my mind, I was thinking Josh Allen.
No, I got you. Yeah. It's too many Josh.
That's fair. Like, you can see something with Josh Allen. You're not going to find out if he's going to be a star.
We got too many Joshes.
But we only got two, don't we?
Lambo. Was it in Josh Lambo?
Lambo, yeah.
Allen, Oliver. Yeah, it's just too many Joshes.
I mean, you can see.
Actually, I hope that guy's good.
But here's my word of warning on tight end. Last year, everybody was telling us that Seferian Jenkins and Bortles were stretching the field. This time,
Seferian Jenkins is stretching.
So
he ain't stretching no field.
Y'all just be very careful. With that, like, I mean, it can be confusing, deceiving. That's the word I'm looking for, deceiving. But I guess you can see, like, I guess Josh Oliver.
Joshua Moon.
We have a Josh Moon?
Yeah, Josh Moon from Georgia Southern.
Okay.
Sorry, Josh. We might have to get rid of you, bro. It's just too many Joshes.
So we have four?
Josh Wells.
Oh, yeah. He's still on the team?
That's what the thing says. They have this picture here. Five. So we got to cut two Joshes per league mandate.
We have five Joshes.
You can't have five players with the same name per NFLPA guideline.
I don't think Josh Moon. Paragraph. What does Josh Moon
paragraph
play?
Paragraph 300 safety.
Maybe you will. Let's go get some more Joshes.
Just to cut them?
No, let's set records here. What's the record for most Joshes on a team?
Probably five.
Think we hold it now?
Yeah, that's quite a minute. We need an Old Testament name, like Orinthius.
Orinthius?
Yeah.
All right, I got to get on DeAndre Francois. I'm a little irritated.
Yes. Let him use you.
Yeah, we got to get to that. We'll get to that when we come back.
XL. Join us in the sports den. Call or text 641-1010.
You like Lane Kiffin?
I'm okay.
I mean, let me tell you my view of Lane Kiffin right now.
Okay.
Trying too hard, Lane. He comes into FAU first year. Pretty good, right? Was his first year or second year?
Second year is when he had, because this is year four right now. Second year is when he had
the good season.
Browse.
Yeah. Okay. So you come into FAU. No. Oh, no. Oh, first year.
So last year was only his second year?
Wait. Last year was his second year.
Oh, okay. So the first year he had Browse.
First year he was 11-3, 8-0 in the conference, and won the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah, the nice one. The rat's mouth.
Right. Last year.
That's what it stands for.
He goes 5-7. And if you pay attention, and most of you don't, because why would you? Last year he brought in a quarterback from Oklahoma. So he had DeAndre there, Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And a quarterback from Oklahoma. DeAndre was there the year before, but had some medical issues, had to get operation, so he was out. This quarterback from Oklahoma has stayed in trouble, like legit stayed in trouble the whole time he's been there. The dude's been suspended more than he's been available, I think. but they keep letting him come back. So it's created kind of this, I won't call it an issue, but kind of this narrative down there, like, okay, I guess if you transfer in from a big school, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. And so now your answer to that is to bring in another turd? Like, you go from one turd to another turd, and in the meantime, you know who's down there taking the first team reps?
Who?
Tronny.
Tronny's probably going to end up being the quarterback.
Not if he brings in Francois. I can tell you right now.
If Lane Kiffin starts a walk-on, because that's what DeAndre Francois is. DeAndre Francois is not a grad transfer. DeAndre Francois is walking onto that team.
Well, that's
with 1 year of eligibility, possibly two. They have to, like, really – and has not practiced, has not thrown a football since November, the end of November. Like, DeAndre is not – like, hasn't rehabbed, because that's part of the problem, was he came back too early off of his knee. Like, I have some friends who – I remember when it first happened, they said that's a two-year injury. Just because it's not like your ACL.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything. Like the kneecap pretty much is pretty important.
So could he be putting him on the roster as a walk-on, knowing he's not going to play this year and then apply for
medical? It's not like it's not this year that he has to worry about. Like, he would have – that would be a huge gamble. I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt him, but it's a huge gamble for DeAndre Francois.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, Francois would have to – like, I'm –
because you can't get an extra year of eligibility if you're not in the NCAA.
You need somebody, right, you have to be – somebody has it. To apply for it. But I doubt it happens. Like, here's the thing. I mean, actually, FSU could have applied. He could have got FSU to apply for it. Like, my friend, one of the guys who I came in with, Lauren Sam, yeah, he did it. Like, he got his appeal, and then he transferred to UTEP, actually. But DeAndre just is not what people thought. And like you said, to your point, I mean, he's going to look good. But I think Tronny can actually run. Tronny hasn't lost a step. He hasn't had any injury. Tronny can throw the ball. Tronny just went up
did.
He got injured?
He had an ACL last year.
Oh,
but he's good. He was in throwing the other day. He looks good.
Okay.
He's in with Aaron throwing and looks great, actually. But see, why would you do that? Because I've talked to multiple colleges who have said that Francois has reached out to them. And I've talked to multiple colleges who said, at first, we had an interest. Then we did some digging.
Nah,
we didn't touch him.
He wouldn't have had to go past. He wouldn't have had to go very far past I-4 if he were any good. South Florida wouldn't have let him go past.
I mean, I'm not.
He was.
Names.
He was supposed to go to UCF.
Yeah.
But if he would have, like, you know what, like I always tell people about what colleges look at when they look at your transcripts when you're coming out of high school. Oh, Francois could have probably been at a bigger school. Had he done what he was supposed to do? Just graduate in December. Instead, you tried to hold the friend. Like, when you tried to hold FSU hostage, you felt it was about you, and you were getting one over. But in the long run, it ended up coming to bite you in your butt. It's unfortunate.
He was a turd. It is what it is.
I mean, he was a turd that thought he had leverage and did not understand what it had.
He was a turd before the leverage. He was a turd the whole year last year.
Yes.
I mean, it's just that simple. Like, the dude has talent. He's got talent. But on the turd to talent index, it is way, he is operating at a serious deficit. But my FAU point is this. So this kid's name is Chris Robinson.
That's the one who's charged
from
with
Oklahoma. Now, the sexual battery allegation recently, I'll get to that. But that comes after he's already been dismissed from the team one time for public intoxication. And then, like, from my understanding, the dude must not own an alarm clock. Because this 50-50 on whether or not he's going to show up for meetings. This latest thing's weird on him. And I'm not going to make this an FAU thing, but an accusation was made by a female student. It prompted a brief investigation. And then she returned later to say the encounter was consensual. Yeah. It was December 3rd was the allegation. December 5th, Robinson told police the encounter was mutually consensual. And then on December 8th, the accuser agreed with him. So, whatever on that. But take that out. Like, if that hadn't even happened, I still had the same opinion. I guess my whole point is this. Like, you went to FAU. You proved a point if you're Lane Kiffin. They end up giving you a 10-year deal, which wasn't that big of a deal. It's like you probably could make that much money as an OC somewhere.
You got a 10-year, $1 million a year deal?
That's basically what it was, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that big of a deal. So
you're gone if you get a good job anyway.
And then you go 5-7, and now it is like apparent that you realize you've fallen out of the spotlight. And how do we get on the spot back in the spotlight? Oh, let's go grab the biggest name grad transfer, which to your point is not even on scholarship, that we can, who nobody else would even touch. It's like, this is Lane Kiffin. The dude just doesn't mature. Same Lane Kiffin that was at Tennessee.
I bet the official visit was off the chain. Lane's still single?
I'm assuming. Oh, and by the way, we know what DeAndre Francois, and granted, whatever you think of the investigation, it is what it is. Are we sure Miami's the best place for Francois?
Listen, he's an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it cheaper by the pound down there.
It's closer to the product?
Yeah, closer to where the product comes in at. Bigger city, higher demand. You get more premium product. Boca, like if you ever want to know an experience in gas prices, like the count, like just drive. Like you're driving, you'll see like, okay, it's 230. 230 is good. How did it jump 30 points? And then you just drive 15 minutes later. How's it back down to 230 again?
Bro, the ripoff is over by Orlando Airport.
Oh, yeah.
They're a good like $1.50 more than the next exit.
Yeah, well, my sister used to live over there. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, why would you even get gas over here? You just go to that Wawa, go buy a bagel or a muffin, and then just get out of there. Don't even worry about the gas.
Yeah.
But DeAndre, man, like, listen, God bless him. I'm just glad somebody else has to worry about if he can pull out in time or not.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's doing down at FAU.
They got good master's program?
I ain't talking about Francois anymore. I'm talking about I don't know what Lane? I don't know what Lane's doing.
Who are they going to get better than Lane Kiffin? Lane out there just freestyling.
Right? I mean, they were 5-7, bro.
Yeah, they were
a lot
nice
of dudes
the first
go
year.
5-7.
Yeah. He had the right OC. He'll find another good OC.
He had the right running back.
Last year, their running back was there, too.
He didn't have as good of a year as he did the year before.
Because he didn't have it's that system. Somebody, you know what? Man, it's not 8 o'clock yet. I got a lot of things to be hating about. People who just throw random names out. Like FSU is going to run the air raid. Like, no, they're not. It's not the air raid. They're air raid concepts. And this is what the person said, air raid concepts. They run wide cross. Verticals. Jeez. Like you mean concepts that are ran in every formation?
Yeah.
Like who are like guys, stop trying, man. So you don't have to speak in complex code to sound smart.
I've had multiple college quarterbacks in the last couple weeks, and I can say with certainty that all of them run different systems. But you know what we've done? Train the exact same way because every single one of them comes down to the exact same concept.
Exactly.
They may read somebody differently. They may put pressure on somebody differently, but they're all the same concept. Boise State, same route concepts as Auburn.
There's only so many routes you can run. Now, when somebody becomes like a beautiful mind to playbook, and they create a whole, like you'll see a radical game change. But I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
And this is where I think, like Dan Mullen has this, and I think from what we've seen, he's still young, but I think Kendall Briles could have this. And we can probably go down the list of people. Doug Peterson with the Eagles certainly has this. It's the setup, right? It's the show in one formation. Seeing how they line up and being able to say, okay, they're lined up this way, we're doing this. Everybody runs the same crap. They just don't all call it the same time. They don't all call it with the same pacing. They don't all call it like against the same defense. Like, I mean, we all know, everybody in the football game knows you run this against this coverage and this against that coverage, but can you actually identify that coverage? And can you actually predict when they're going to be in that coverage? And then do you have a quarterback that can get you in and out of it if you're not? Like, that's the the guys that are good at it, that's what they're good at, is Georgia, what they're able to do with Jake Fromm. What Felipe's able to do now after knowing Dan Mullen. Like, that's the big thing.
Best philosophy of football is down in Miami right now. Like, quarterback, when I heard this, it was amazing concept. Should have put it on a shirt. If I were still coaching high school football, this would be our offense, what we would call it.
Go ahead.
Dat MF-er. Whereas more Dat MF-er over there, them MF-ers over there, than over here, we're going to go over there. Mm-hmm. It's real simple. Like, just no matter what route concept you run, you want to go to where you have numbers, correct? Mm-hmm. Even running game. You want to run to where you have numbers. That's why you pull a guy.
It ain't that hard, yeah.
You pull a guy, you overload a line, you influence by steps. It's just a lot of things that, I mean, people make football way more complicated. And the more words that, more fancy words that you pencil neck reporters use, like the more you make, man, I can't say, it's more debaggery.
But here's the problem, James, is people hear like these Sean Payton play calls and they hear these John Gruden play calls and they don't realize like that play call is basically three plays.
Right. Not like, just that.
It's Drew Brees that's actually getting them in the right one.
I'm going to tell you how well I learned. Like, because I went from running 44. Like, that's what we get. 44 was a ton of, was loaded.
College.
It was loaded in college. When he came out and somebody pulled me to the side, like, listen, the first phrase is the formation. You learn like whatever the paragraph is.
Formation, motion.
Like, yeah, are you tagged in the motion? If you're not, your formation tells you what to do. All right, what is this play? If they put a tag on it, then if they shift down to, if they're in an odd man front, they go to even, you shift to this play. Mm-hmm. It's like you learn to like tune out what you don't need to hear. And
yeah, offensive linemen, their play call's pretty much done about 3 seconds in.
Yeah. Red. Boom. That's all.
Like, sliding right. Yeah. Let's roll.
Like, everybody has red, rocket, laser, yellow laser, some kind of crazy.
Well, just think about it this way.
Dang, we really are talking about football concepts. Right,
it's all right. If it was that complicated, it's May. If it was that complicated, then quarterbacks wouldn't be able to just go in and out of systems.
True.
Like, it'd have to be Doogie Howser.
If it were that complicated, guys with an average ACT score of 14 right, would not be doing
guys
this.
Guys who
everybody says are dumb. Like, so it's the dumb jock thing is consistent.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they have agreed to play a sport where they are running full speed and need.
Right, but what I'm saying is, people try to make something overly complicated with the stereotype that they're dumb, and with people say it on the text line, say it on all other kinds. So you can't think that they're inherently not brilliant and think that they have the most complicated systems.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, we did get really into it there, didn't we?
Yeah, we're going to get a text about that.
It's all right. We're all good. There was an interesting list that I came across that we'll get into before we get into 8 o'clock about biggest or best free agent signings this offseason. Jags actually had a couple on there. We'll get to that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
FinMD Med Spa is where you guys need to go. Get that summer look going for you. I mean, if you think about it, they got all kinds of summer look stuff going on. First off, here's what you need to do. You first need to go to thinmdmedspa.com, see everything they offer. And I'm going to tell you how to make this summer good. First, prescription, James. Mitoblast. Mitoblast for the summer.
Of course. You don't need a prescription, huh?
No. I'm saying from us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't do anything else, just go get Mitoblast. It will make your summer better. Right away. Then you'll stay on it. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see why we say that in like 2 weeks. You're good. But then some of you dudes like may have an issue like I have. Like, I got a hairy back, and some of you may care about that. I really don't. I'm like, I'm at the age now where it's just like, bump it. But they got laser hair removal.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say they got people who can braid that up.
Well, no, not there. But they got laser hair removal. You can go get that done.
Okay.
You can get your teeth whitened. Because when you get tan, that's a good look.
Like, how does that happen? Does, like, the yellow tint from the spray tan, like, get to your teeth? Or is it just, like...
I don't know why. Like, you would think as the tanner you get, the whiter your teeth
would
look.
We know one person that had that problem. Unfortunately, he's not on the team. We know Telvin didn't
have that problem. Telvin,
I mean, he doesn't know. He's not listening. That's Telvin's secret.
You think?
I think.
You think?
I'm assuming Telvin's secret is
thin MD. Also wants us putting that on him right now.
I cannot confirm, nor deny.
Pretty sure Capasso don't want people thinking he's on the Mitoblast or anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think Mitoblast makes you, but you never know. You get jittery sometimes when you first take it.
Yeah, and then if all that like doesn't suit your fancy, then you just need to go in and see Dr. Capasso, let him get you on a diet plan, or on a health plan, I should say. But just whatever you do, just go to ThinMD Med Spa. We've been talking about it for 2 years, so y'all should be have already should have done it, but you haven't, so you need to now. So make sure you tell them that the Sports Den sent you. Give me the best free agent signing off the top of your head.
Best free agent signing?
Yeah, this year. Who had the best free agent signing?
Cleveland.
With?
I know OBJ was a trade, wasn't he? Crap.
No, you're not. I mean, he was a trade, but they did put that as I'm sorry. Move best okay. Offseason move. That is number one.
OBJ.
Yeah, because that's where I went with this list right away. Because if it wasn't number one, I was just not even going to pay attention to the list. And this is from Bleacher Report. But what I found interesting was number two. Number two is the Raiders trading for Antonio Brown.
I was going to be. That was my 1B.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
I got this feeling it's gonna be a flop.
It might be, but right now, one, I didn't like this offseason. But two, like you can't say two of the best names in wide receiver position got moved for pennies. Those are pretty good offseason moves.
Yeah, I mean, third round and a fifth round. I don't know why. I've always been a big Antonio Brown guy, but not high on him right now. Three. Dolphins trading for quarterback Josh Rosen.
I just talked about him, but that you have to give that props.
Four, Jaguars signing quarterback Nick Foles. Says 2 years ago, the Jaguars made it all the way to the AFC Championship. Last year, however, the Jags imploded. Now, there was more than one reason for this free fall, but there's no denying that quarterback Blake Bortles was a liability, so much so that he was benched in season for Cody Kessler.
And brought back.
And I'm going to skip some of this. And then it says, Foles isn't a guaranteed answer to all of Jacksonville's problems, nor is his arrival a surefire ticket back to the playoff, but he's assuredly an upgrade from Bortles. The four-year, $88 million deal he signed with the Jaguars is relatively modest by today's standards at the position. I mean, I don't know. I would not argue that he's an upgrade, but I would also not allow myself just to be happy with an upgrade. This is where it gets interesting. So the number five biggest offseason move, they start getting into the draft. So if I told you that the number five biggest offseason move is a draft pick, like, you would think Kyler Murray, or you would think Dwayne Haskins, or right? How about Devin Bush? Number five is Steelers drafting inside linebacker Devin Bush, number 10 overall. The reason why I think that's interesting, because how many times did we say on here that the biggest improvement the Jags could make right now in the draft would be to select a Mike backer? Like, I don't know that Devin Bush is the dude, but it does do a lot for your defense right away. You could argue that it's a quicker fix for a defense than drafting a quarterback is for an offense. If the pieces around him are decent.
So Devin Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Number six was Redskins drafting Dwayne Haskins. Seven was Patriots trading for Michael Bennett, which, okay. And I'd forgotten about this one, but this is a big pickup. Rams signing safety Eric Weddle. That was number eight. He's 34 now.
Eric Weddle?
Yeah.
Wow.
34. Let's see. Let me get Bear signing Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. It was 9. Zach Brown going to the Eagles was 10. Let me find this other. I forgot the Colts got Justin Houston. Bills drafting Ed Oliver, number 9 overall, was 12. Greedy Williams was 13. David Montgomery being drafted by the Bears at 73 overall was 14. Jamie Collins, Mark Ingram, Olivier Vernon going to the Browns, Drew Lock going to the Broncos. I'm trying to find this other Jag one. I know it's on here. Number 21. The 21st biggest offseason move. Jags drafting offensive tackle Juwan Taylor, number 35. It says, the boys and girls in Jacksonville must have been very good in 2019 because Christmas came early for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year.
That was creative.
First, Kentucky edge rusher Josh Allen fell to the Jags at 7, a gift of a pick that will help further fortify an already formidable pass rush. As good as that pick was, the next was even better. The third pick of the round two, the Jags selected Juwan Taylor. And it calls him a 6'5", 312-pound mauler of a right tackle.
He's never watched film.
Says he should start day one.
Yes, a right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely, definitely not. A mauler might be an overstatement. Just like the start of that paragraph you read.
At times he has mauled.
I mean, he's been mauled.
Sure. But at times he has mauled.
I'm sure. We all play one. Like you should ball against on 1AA.
Man, he held his own in the SEC. Yeah, I mean, he was not the number 7 overall pick. Listen. And I tweeted this out. He was not an early first rounder. Like he didn't fall. The media was wrong on him. There's a difference. If somebody falls, that implies that teams had him that high. Teams didn't have him that high. The media had him that high. Y'all hyped him up. Media, not teams. But he's not terrible.
He's not bad, but he's not the 35th.
You don't think?
Best move.
Oh, 21st best move.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. 21st? Yeah, it's not that. I mean,
but you don't think he's the 35th?
Quick game in the second round, that's not. I mean, I don't mind that. I would have had a problem in the.
They got the Patriots drafting our boy Chase Winovich at number 22.
Trying
to see. Yeah. There's nothing else on here. The other interesting thing that, and I want to get into this Zeke thing. You'll make that 8 o'clock? Part of 8 o'clock?
Sure.
I know we got a lot of it. Packed 8 o'clock coming up. SB Nation had this interesting thing saying the Bills and Jags are becoming NFL's silliest and best rivals. You think that's true? Like, you consider them a rival?
Who a rival? Yeah, the Bills?
Bills and the Jags?
Nah.
I don't either. I don't like this the way it starts. It says, the Bills and the Jags are two of the most miserable franchises in the NFL. Then it goes on to say, the Jags are one of four teams with zero Super Bowl appearances and the only team that has fewer than four division titles. Like,
I mean, the only thing that can make us rivals is that we both equally suck, but we've had more success and they're jealous. And they brought more fans.
More fans than what?
To Jacksonville.
Than who?
Than we had.
Yeah, you're going to go with that?
I'm just saying that's the only thing that I can try to – I'm trying to figure out why you would say that they're
– Yeah, I was at that game. There were like 8,000 of them in a stadium that had 70,000 people in it. It goes on to say cheering for either one is bad for your health, but the two fan bases wear suffering like a badge of honor. So it's kind of perfect that they spent the last couple of years antagonizing each other. There's a bubbling rivalry between the Bills and Jaguars that's equal parts sad and hilarious. This is how they became pseudo-rivals. It says on New Year's Eve 2004, Doug Marrone opted out of his contract as head coach of the Bills. Did that after leading them 9-7 record, Buffalo's first season since 2004. And obviously he became the coach here. Says the other part of it is Jalen Ramsey has beef with everyone, but especially Josh Allen. So the more you read, the more fair this maybe is. I mean, you can't call a dude trash, Josh, and not expect to hear about it. Then it goes on to talk about how Ramsey heard it from the Buffalo crowd in the fourth quarter, and how Jalen retweeted a Buffalo Bills tweet last year of Josh Allen's first snaps as a Buffalo Bill and said that's a pick waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it talks about the fight where your boy Fournette had his best run of the year. And then it says the Jags say that they've got the good Josh Allen now with the draft. All of that's fair, actually. And then it goes on to say Duval and Bills Mafia are perfect enemies.
I don't care how, just because you throw Mafia around, I wouldn't mess with the Bangham guys.
Says Bills fans drive through tables and throw.
That's my vision a lot, Jay.
Too. Something at Patriots. I can't. Don't know if I can say that on air. Says Jag fans belly flop into pools of Band-Aids and do things like send a rival player trash cans for insulting their quarterback.
One shout out to Bonnie Molly. Make sure we give her the right props. I know who orchestrated that.
It's to make fun of the Titans.
Yeah, but she like. It was awesome. Like, she's a PR lady. She does a good job. Bonnie Upright, excuse me, Phillips Upright. What we don't do as Jags fans, they haven't talked about it unless you got more to read. Because they're notorious for one thing. They have a unique snack that Bills fans continuously partake in, no matter who's watching. You didn't notice?
No.
Like, where people would drop trial?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I assume that's what you're talking about, but I wasn't really.
Oh, you didn't say stop.
I mean.
Neither did that person. But the thing is, they go Robert Kraft style. He would approve.
Buffalo Rumblings, I guess, is the name of a publication. It's got Matt Warren. It says on Twitter, at least Jaguar fans are legitimately annoying. He goes on to say, we are capable of ignoring arrogant Patriot fans because what are you going to say to them? Jaguar fans are different. Jacksonville hasn't done anything recently, but all last offseason they were gloating like they won the Super Bowl and were set up for years of success. Says there's a difference in climate and the length of franchise history and seemingly in the people that root for the teams, and we think the Duval chant is obnoxious all on its own.
You guys have a guy named Chris Brown. I say you guys like you're the one reading it, but... Bills, your blue checkmark guy said that the only reason, the only way that you guys were going to win a game because you were better at the Jaguars at everything that you weren't better than the Jaguars at. Like, we're going to throw the ball better except for the fact that our quarterback can't throw. We're going to run the ball down their throat except for the fact that we don't have a good running game and the Jaguars' running game is exponentially better than ours. Our DBs are better except for the fact they have Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. Like, and this is a guy actually wrote this for clicks, and you guys give him a blue check mark and consider him a voice for all things Bills.
Our boy Alfie weighed in this article.
Okay.
Alfie, Big Cat Country, Alfie mm-hmm. Crow says, it seemed to really flare up when they hired Doug Marrone as an O-line coach when he rightfully dumped them. Then when he got hired as the head coach, there wasn't a Bills fan who didn't give you their unsolicited opinion on Marrone, so it kind of went from there, culminating in dumping them out of the playoffs in their first year in like 20 years. I'm not sure why Bills fans hate Jaguar fans. I think we think it's weird and funny that they get so mad. I'm perfectly fine with Alfie being the voice of Jaguar Nation right now on this one. No problem at all with it. We got a lot to get in 8 o'clock, right? James?
Yeah. You just said I'm waiting on the thing. I got tons. I got it all lined up.
Are you reading your notes?
Yes. I'm actually have FSU beat writers. We've got the little elf from Star Wars. The little with the beard, the running back from Dallas.
Oh, yes.
Zeke. We've got I forgot the other thing, but I got two of them pulled up right here.
All right. 8 o'clock coming up next.
You mad, bro?
1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
Monday night, 8 o'clock, brought to you by Loose Air Quality. Every night, 8 o'clock, brought to you by Loose Air Quality, because you're going to be hating life if you don't get this air quality situation fixed. You got crappy air quality in your home, meaning you've got mold or some microbial, does that sound right?
Yeah.
Issue. You need to get that identified and fixed. Health effects from this type of stuff. Serious, like serious stuff. Like depression and cancer and chronic fatigue and kidney toxicity. That sounds serious, by the way. Kidney toxicity. Autism, birth defects, all that kind of stuff. You want to go to somewhere who knows what they're doing. That's Loose Air Quality. That's L-U-C-E airquality.com or call 904-803-1014. Give them a call. They're local. They'll be to you in no time. What you got?
Before I go on a rant, you've never watched Game of Thrones, correct?
Nope.
And you don't understand it. Neither have you, Country, right? And you don't understand it. But, Country, you understand football, most football names. And then you would understand these football coaches, right?
Okay.
So imagine
okay.
for the highest seat in college football, the most powerful position and the ruler of the Power Five, because nobody cares about the group of five.
Okay.
But these were the people who were fighting for and fight life or death.
Okay.
Nick Saban.
Okay.
Bear Bryant. Rockne. Osborne. Spurrier. Bowden. And many more very noble, worthy people all fought. They did clever play calls, block punts, trick plays, did everything that they need to do just for that throne.
Okay.
Just for it, all the smoke to clear. And Kirk Ferentz becomes the guy.
Is that what happened?
That's essentially Game of Thrones summed up right there. You have all these notable.
You gotta give credit to whoever tweeted.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's I retweeted
that's
it.
That's pretty good.
I told him like that was the best.
Somebody put a lot of thought.
That was the best summation. Even if you've never watched it and you want to know what this 10 years is like, you've seen some of the most noble, worthy people who had a claim to the throne all die, and a dude in a wheelchair gets it.
Kirk Ferentz ain't in a wheelchair.
Yeah, but it's just the point. Like, the one person that you would never think.
I gotcha. So what's your hate o'clock?
My hate o'clock is FSU media, partially, often. And it's not necessarily a hate on one person in particular. Taggart has had plenty of reasons to be hated upon. He did some very dumb things. But, like, now you have all these things that I have been screaming about, and people were saying I'm making excuses. He can't cut players because of the APR. The booster situation is limiting a lot of the things that he can do. Blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh, it's fairy tales. And I'm not even in Tallahassee to be able to investigate it. What does Sports Illustrated drop?
I have no
They
idea.
Literally dropped something that says everything that I've been saying about what's wrong with wrong in Tallahassee. And what I'm pissed off about is we always talk about this narrative that the national media is just so much better at covering Florida State than the local beat. You're there every freaking day. You have ins. Like, you should be able to write about the truth, not just what social media tells you to write about so that you can get clicks and subscriptions. You should write about the state of the actual program so that fans can actually understand and temper expectations. You have that power, but instead, you literally spent 6 months talking about how it's one person's fault and now everybody's making you look stupid. Now you can't backtrack. You can't backtrack and say, oh, yeah, well, it was the APR. Or like, we just found out. No, you could have picked up the phone. If I knew it was the APR in October for Jacksonville, you should have known it was the
– Tell me what the APR is.
Essentially the graduation rate. If you knew that Jimbo was barely letting people go to class and is barely keeping kids eligible – if I could find that out here in Jacksonville, you live in Tallahassee, you should be able to find that out.
What did the APR specifically keep Taggart from being able to?
If he would have cut, like if you cut people who are like a semester, not necessarily a semester behind, but are on academic probation or aren't considered qualifiers or on track, haven't taken enough credits, if you get rid of them, they still count towards your graduation rate. And if you don't graduate a certain amount of players, you lose scholarships. You lose the ability to fund. You may even lose postseason play. It's essentially what you see every year with HBCUs. No knock on them, but programs like Florida State should never have situations like this. When you have a fully funded, then on top of that, you talk about the AD who's slashing the budget. I'm telling you, he's slashing the budget in September. Everybody, then the vice president of the booster goes on this long tirade talking about how much money they spend to find out in January, oh, we slashed the budget. In particular, you slashed the budget with academics. The place where we were 2 points away from being on probation.
Is that a normal? Does a lot of people have this APR issue?
No. Most people are well above where you need to be at.
Like, so what's a normal, like does, and I'm not saying because, I'm saying because I'm a Florida fan. Like, has Florida ever been on that verge?
No. I think Florida, I'm sure they have.
What I'm asking is it hard to get to here's
part of the reason. Here's why you have Walker. And I hate to say that, but like, not DeAndre Francois, walk on FAU. But here's why you have the really super smart ones that get the 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to help fluff that up. But, like, we got guys.
So this isn't something that, I guess, where I'm going.
Like, your key play.
It's
like
not a normal conversation that people have to plan for.
Every year, every school has 5 to 10 guys who are borderline academically ineligible.
But you have
a as far as a team overall, like, you should be, you should not be close to being on probation
for APR.
It's a complete turn a blind side by Jimbo Fisher.
So it's a complete failure is what I'm saying, is if that happens. And so what you're saying is that affected Willie's first season how?
Oh, because what I always said is it was a bunch of bad apples. So you could tell people were trying to do it their own way.
Okay, and he had no way.
If you could cut 5 to 10 players, maybe 10 is too much. You chop off 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a corporate, like anytime a corporate takeover, you get rid of people.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sets the stage.
Okay,
you couldn't do that because you need these people to graduate.
Now it's
every 2 years.
I just thought of this, so let me ask you this, and this may be a dumb question. I don't know a lot about this APR thing. Is it one of those things that you really can't even bench certain people because if you bench them, they may leave and it still hurts your APR?
Yep.
So it could technically affect playing time too.
It could have affected 12. Like, you needed him to graduate.
Did he?
Yeah. Okay. Which is what I was saying. Part of the reason why he didn't get a chance to go where he was supposed to go, he was supposed to graduate in December. And he didn't graduate in December, so now he had to hold up. Because the rumor was is that he would have been at UCF as opposed – and the Notre Dame quarterback that transferred out would have been transferring to Florida State. But here's the thing that I'm reading from the SI article. One of Coburn's mandates is to repair the athletic department's relationship with Seminole boosters. Why would you need to repair this is what the fans should be asking. This is what the writers who actually write should be asking. Why should we have to repair the relationship with the group whose sole purpose is to make sure athletics runs perfectly? It's not an ego thing.
It doesn't say in there? It doesn't say why?
Well, I'm going to tell you why, because athletics and boosters are two different entities. Whereas the University of Florida, the president of the UAA reports directly to the athletic director. Andy Miller is literally ranked higher than the athletic director at Florida State. So the AD has to dance to the booster president. It's not the other way around.
Are most schools like Florida?
No. Yeah, most schools are like Florida. No other school has this thing. It should never be a situation where you have to kiss the ring or bend the knee to your booster program. Your booster program's sole purpose is to make sure that you have everything you need.
So let me cut to the chase. Is all this reason why Willie, regardless of what happens, should get another year after this?
If he goes 5-7, there's no real.
And I don't think he is.
I understand what you said. But if he somehow goes 7-5 or 8-4, I think he's fine. But if he goes 7-5, he should get another year because it's a lot of mess. It's a lot of things that have been hidden because of winning. I always said before, even like Jimbo on his way out, Jimbo had a lot of gripes that were legitimate. But Jimbo also did a lot of things that were just borderline, like not setting anybody up, including himself, up for success. The best thing for the program, or best thing that put the program, the reason why all of us know who FSU is probably the reason why FSU is in the position they are now. And that's having the same coach for 40 years. And Bobby and all of his greatness, Bobby won by any means necessary. And that's was great. But the problem is you have a group of people who believe that you can win by bits and pieces. Everybody else has I wish we had the same formula for athletics as they have for building the university. When I came in 2002, they told us that the eventual goal for FSU is to have Doak Campbell Stadium be the center of campus. And they had a systematic plan to grow the university through athletics. That's the reason why the booster program came. That's the reason why they buy up so much land and create nightlife and create these things. The camp, like I always tell people, my friends at FAMU, at a time it was about racism. Right now it's business and you're in the way. It's nothing else. I promise you. Like there may have been some old stuff, but like you, in order for FSU to achieve their goal, that's what they do. And then they started that in like 78, 80. The only problem is that it's a good goal. But during that time, Alabama got a guy like Nick Saban, who said that he's going to have a fundamental plan and he's going to grow the program this way, and it grows the campus. Clemson has figured it out with Dabo that they're going to grow the university through athletics or whatever, but they're going to grow it systematically by continuing to put money in. Everybody is on the same page. What you're doing is you're having a measuring contest, and you put an AD in whose sole purpose is to make sure the books are straight, because that's what Seminole Boosters wanted to do, not the other way around. The AD should dictate what the budget is, and the booster's job is to make sure they raise the funds so that you can function. You should not look like Florida State should never look like a second tier program. And the problem is, instead of going around here in a slow season, writing articles about what the past was in the season, we all know it was crappy. You should actually be writing and educating the fan base so that they can be prepared to go knock on some doors and know who they should be angry at.
Who controls the credentials?
Oh, athletics. But the thing is, if that's what you're afraid of.
No, I'm just asking.
I'm saying if you're truly afraid of credentials, then why are you in media? Like, are you in media? Like, if you're, and that's cool.
Whoever
if
you're in it, guy wants access.
Yeah, if you're, I barely got credentials and have access. Nah, my stuff is different. But the point is, if you want access, you can get it. There are some really good officers, like No Game Day. They don't have credentials, but they break stories. They break the same stories that I break. And they're not there on the beat. I mean, it's like you're going to write bad articles about Tag and think he's not going to try to, when he starts winning, think he's not going to limit your access?
The only reason why I asked that is because of the report.
Yeah, boosters don't do that, but athletics doesn't want that. But I think
they've done a really good job, though, I will say, because I've been to games, and I've been like two games at Tallahassee in the last, I don't know, 10 years. But when I went this spring, it was the first time I spent a day at, it's been a while since I've done that. They've done a really good job around the stadium. Like, what they've built just right around mm-hmm. the corner is really nice stuff. It's really well done. And I had no idea there was so much that operated out of that stadium site.
Yeah, academics, financial aid is
And that's fairly new?
No.
No, it's always
academics
been like
was in there when I was there.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know. Yeah. I had no idea.
But it's a lot more that can be done. Like, the thing is, FSU, and that's not, I didn't even want to have all that be my 8 o'clock, but it just aggravates me. I don't mind boosters. I think Andy Miller's a good dude for the most part. I just don't like the way, I think it's, if you've had the same job since 1975, mm-hmm. that means there's been no innovation. Mm-hmm. It's time for some new blood. That's my whole problem. And I want to audit because I want to see where my money's going. I better stop doing that before they audit me. Wait a minute, now I think about it, I'm sorry. What? I apologize, Florida State. I didn't mean it.
Do you have it? You have another 8 o'clock?
I don't remember anymore. I lost track.
Can I give you one?
Yes.
Last week we talked about college football having the study about letting players use their image or likeness as a way to generate revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week. Now, there's a study by the NFL and NFLPA to study marijuana as a pain management tool. My 8 o'clock is, if we're saying all this stuff, both of those, for 10 years, 7 years, 5 years, whatever it is, why y'all just now? Because here's what a study means. A study means is we're still 5 or 6 years away from it. Like, why didn't you do this study 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and I guess it's better than doing it 3 years from now. But if everybody, whether you agree with the sentiment or not on either of these cases, it's been brought up, both of these, on every single sports talk radio show in the country over the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Why is it just now a study?
You know why? You know why?
Go ahead.
Somebody can profit from it.
I don't know.
I mean, that's
who?
The only reason.
Who?
The NFL owners, you don't think they're going to invest?
I mean, they couldn't do that before?
Because, like, now it took, like, in 5 years, nobody would care. Like, it took, like, just think about 5 years ago, marijuana use in general. Every year, marijuana use and the people who do it, the thrill or the fervor goes down. It went from, oh, I can't believe you're smoking the devil's lettuce, to, that's just stupid. Come on, man. Can you just wait? To, who cares?
Well, what they're going to need first, and to be, and I guess I'm going to answer my own question, is they're going to need every state to legalize it.
And it's well on that way.
States that have it with NFL teams are Texas, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, Indiana, and Wisconsin. Every time I say Wisconsin, I think of T-Pain.
Wisconsin.
Pro Football Talk has reported that the league wants to end the prohibition on marijuana altogether. Because the current labor deal gives the NFL the right to test players for marijuana and the power to discipline those who test positive or otherwise violate substance abuse policy, the league has been reluctant to unilaterally pull the plug on the prohibition, opting instead to try and retain a concession from the union in exchange for allowing players to use marijuana, either for medicinal or recreational purposes. I mean, if you're going to let them use it for medicinal, you can't differentiate between the two, can you? I mean, every guy there.
I'm not going to say, like, if I'm smoking and I do it recreationally,
right,
I'm not going to just say, oh, you know, I'm not going to let you catch me.
I'm perfectly healthy.
The first thing, and again, some of it's a joke, some of it's tongue in cheek, but the first thing they say when people say when they release it medicinally, oh, I got to go make sure I get my card. Mm-hmm. And I know people who went out and immediately dropped the, I think some people dropped like $500 to get their card. But the medicinal stuff is it ain't the other stuff.
It was interesting is the second comment on here is exactly what you said. It says, I have been predicting the NFL will be dealing their own brand of weed for years now. It'd be awesome if they had the NFL weed.
They have
they're selling the Jaguar strain.
Ooh, that Jaguar's Reggie. Now, you don't want to smoke that Jaguar strain. Give me that New England, boy. Woo, that stuff is potent. It's dull, but it'll get you high.
That would be amazing, actually. Duval Ford text line, I'll get to you in coming up. Want to get to this 247 article that talks about who the number one overall pick is going to be next year. I got to get to that. I'll do that as well. And country, we're going to do a giveaway when we come back, right? All right, we'll do that coming up next.
The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Man, Dane Caller is going to make me mess up my segment here, but I'm going to deal with you in a minute, the person that just called. But first, on a lighter note, we're going to give away some tickets. What we got?
Yeah, so we got a family four-pack to the third annual First Pitch benefiting walk-off charities. That's taking place on May 24th at 5:30. Free food from numerous well-known local restaurants and even a chance to go on the field and hit after the event.
Wait, they get a chance to go on the field and hit?
Yeah.
Well, that's dangerous.
That's very dangerous, but hey, you know, it's fun.
There's going to be a bunch of people running around the field all willy-nilly with people hitting?
Yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
I may go just to watch that.
But yeah, those
walk-off charities. That's Frangie's charity. Does amazing work. Like, dude's doing something almost every week with this thing. A lot of community involvement. So it's a four-pack of tickets to the what do you call it? Celebrity Home Run Challenge?
Yeah, it is. Home Run Derby? A Celebrity Home Run Derby contest that night as well.
Yeah. So let's go. Well, you pick the caller.
Let's make it chaotic. First caller.
Oh, dang. All right, first caller gets it. Wow.
What you hating on? Extendo hate o'clock.
That sounds like you just don't really want to work. Yeah, you don't want to count to four or five. He's just like, first one that I pick up the phone on gets it.
When are they going to call?
Okay, let me address this. Speaking of callers, this dude calls in all the time. Talking about he knows somebody's dad that went to the SEC school and the kid got paid. And why aren't we looking into it? Well, mister, listen, a couple things. A, we know the kid. You keep calling our show. Stop. Just stop. We know. We personally know the kid. All right. So that eliminates any looking into anything that we would do anyway, because we've known him since he was in high school. And two, if you're going to start looking into every single claim that a relative makes that their kid got money, that's all you're going to do. Have you ever thought for one second that maybe they're lying? Maybe?
Like, just, it's kind of like this. So, anything that I've ever done illegally, like, unless it's like a decade removed, like which I believe the statute of limitations is, I'm not going to go around and just brag about it. Because like one of the things that you can do if you know so much, or if you're getting firsthand knowledge of somebody telling you that, in the state of Florida, it's highly illegal to do that. Shout out to Tank Black. Like you could go to jail
for
a long time for doing that. So like whatever you think you know, you probably don't know enough of, and if they told you that, they told you that in confidence. It's kind of like where I grew up. If you knew something in confidence and they were doing something illegal and you just started going around bragging about it and everybody got in trouble, you probably better start moving, because people gonna come looking for you. So I mean, it's not that deep, but like
I am.
The other side of this is we know about lottery, like the lottery, the curse of the lottery. Like anytime you give somebody something who's never had anything, what's the first thing they do?
Yeah,
they spend it and they're worse off. Like you get, like for you people who really think that there's like $300,000 being given to people who ain't got nothing,
they wouldn't hide it.
You think that they do? They're that good at just like going from having like you're gonna make 10 times what you've probably ever made.
Yeah,
in one sitting, and you're just gonna sit around and not have a S5, not have Gucci flip flops. Not going to work in a chinchilla.
A what?
A fur.
Oh.
Like, you're going to have a whole bunch of unnecessary stuff. Look at what we do. I mean, not we. I don't want to make. Anyways, I've seen what some of you people do when you get your income tax. I can only imagine what's going to happen when you get, if you get like three times, get 10, 20 times that. Like, kid going to have all the J's.
Dude, go ahead. I'm going to
say, and the feds watch that. Just letting you know, like, there's this thing, the alphabet boys are smarter than what you think. That's how they got these rich parents for trying to buy their kids way into Southern Cal.
Did you see the thing on, I think it was 60 Minutes, about the first Bitcoin transaction?
Nah. Wait, how was it about for drug deals?
No. This dude legit, and I don't have where did I see that? Hold on. Let me look this, because I want to get this right. I think I screenshotted this, because this is unbelievable. The first transaction, the dude used Bitcoins to buy pizza. Okay, so he bought two Papa John's pizzas. You know how much he paid for it?
How much?
8,000 Bitcoins.
Oh, that's when Bitcoin was like 25 cents.
It's an $800 million pizza.
Yeah, based on today's thing.
Yes. Damn. Yes, that's the dude.
Yeah, he's probably like.
Can you imagine having to go, I paid $800 million for two Papa John's pizzas?
Well, it wasn't like that then. Like, even me, like, I'm pissed at myself about Bitcoin. Like, I should have cashed out last summer. I think last summer was when it made the huge rise, when it got like the 25,000. And I was like, man, I'm going to just sit here and just, and pew, crap. I mean, it's still worth way more than what I paid for. But I remember when I first heard about it, I think when I was in college. But it was like the dark web stuff. Like it was the weird things that I used to watch. Like I would watch, and I'm like, I don't want to mess with that. Then like 3 years ago, everybody started really getting back into it. And I was just like, okay. And I bought in when it was like $800.
What's it at now?
I think it's like 4,000 or 5,000. I think I have like 15,000 in Bitcoin. Mm. Not 15. Excuse. Ugh, no, I don't have that. Excuse me. Like 5,000 or 6,000 in Bitcoin. That's a huge number. I don't want nobody robbing me for my Bitcoins, thinking I got more than what I got. Oh dear. No, I was kind of right. I didn't need to cash out again. Like literally, it was like it was way lower than what it is right now. It was so I got consumed with it.
You did for a minute.
I was consumed. I needed to get out.
247 has a mock draft, or CBS Sports has a mock draft. I'm sorry, 247 is reporting it. That says that there's a quarterback that's going to go number one next year. Which, okay. So it must be the Oregon kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert. No, not him. So if it's not him, it must be Tua, right? Nope. Not him either. If it's not him, maybe Jacob Eason? Nope, not him either. They're saying Jake Fromm.
From State Farm?
Yes. Yes. Jake Fromm, Georgia Bulldog quarterback, who I like, and I've complimented a ton on this very program, and who last year when y'all were talking about benching him, and y'all played, I'm saying y'all, Georgia yeah. fans, right before the Florida game, I was like, please bench him. Please. Jake Fromm ain't going number one overall. Jake Fromm ain't going in the first round.
Mm. Spicy.
I'll tell you that right now. Jake Fromm is a very good quarterback, very smart quarterback, may have a good NFL career. The process is not going to like Jake Fromm. Just like the process didn't like Will Greer. Jake Fromm can't throw a ball over 50 yards.
Ooh.
He can't.
Ooh, how dare you?
What, for spitting a fact?
Say something so salacious.
I mean, he is.
You were just doing this so that people can listen to the replay on our podcast, hopefully.
I mean, he's a very good player, and he is going to pick college football apart. And he may even be a finalist for the Heisman next year. With everything that they have, he's going to have all freaking day to throw because that offensive line is probably the best one in the country.
Reggie Pope says, for those that think he won't have a better NFL career than Tua, start studying football.
I don't think Tua's going to have a good NFL career. He may be right on that. He may have a better NFL career than Tua.
Very uneducated tweet. That was going for you.
I mean, but he's not going to be the number one overall pick. He's not going to be a first-round pick.
Oh. Bama Steven, he won't even go first round.
You got to understand, especially if you're doing a mock draft, if you're going to put your name on something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand what NFL teams look for. And in the first round, they want a guy that they can't get every year. So what I tried to tell y'all with Will Greer, y'all wouldn't listen, is they want somebody they can't get in every draft. And that person is someone with a big arm, with a generational arm, or at least a seasonal arm. Like at least this year, he's the best arm in the draft, or he's one of the top two arms in the draft. Jake don't have that. Now, Jake's got everything that a lot of these cats don't. One of the smartest quarterbacks I've ever heard in my life. Like, can probably call the game from the line of scrimmage. He's that dialed in.
Mm.
Maybe the best college quarterback not named Trevor Lawrence in college football this year. Maybe. But he's not the number one overall pick.
And not even first round, do you?
No.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
I don't even know if he comes out next year.
When I said that to somebody, they told me I was crazy.
What, that he wasn't going to come out? Or that he wasn't first round?
That he wouldn't even come out.
Yeah. He may not. I mean, Jake Fromm seems to me like he's living the life at Georgia. And, I mean, if I'm the quarterback at Georgia right now and I'm seeing the recruiting classes they're having and I'm in an offense that I already know like the back of my hand, why would I leave? I'm good. Let me stay here in Athens where everybody thinks I'm a god. Let me just break every school record there is for wins. Let me chase a natty, which we haven't had in 40 years. Like, why rush and go to the NFL to be a second or third round pick? Somebody's going to hit me with, he's the next Drew Brees. You may be right. I'm not predicting his success in the NFL. I'm predicting what the NFL will say about him through the draft process. That's two different things.
You know what? He could be the next Drew Brees. You know what the NFL said about Drew Brees? Second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, just because, like, he could be the next, oh, he's the next Russell Wilson. Fourth round or third round. He could be the next. Like, I mean, just the NFL is just, it's a different beast. NFL, I always try to tell people, but they think I'm crazy. The NFL is not college.
No.
You can be extremely successful. You can be an extremely good college football player and a terrible pro player.
Oh, absolutely.
From what people
say,
from what people say, I'm speaking from experience, because I didn't realize I was a good college player until I got to this, until I got past that. But like, I know I was pretty good in college, and I know I was terrible at the next level.
It's just, you know, I mean, can you name a college football player? We'll come back to this. I want you to think about this at the break. Name a college football player has it better than Jake Fromm. Like, just think about that for just a minute, and as to why would you leave the situation you're in. Who has it better than Jake Fromm? We'll get to that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
It is The Sports Den. Monday night, tomorrow night, we'll have tons of Jag stuff. First day of OTAs. Are they playing Marone live in the morning here? You know, country? You don't know? I think Marone's 10:15 pre-practice, and then practice starts at 10:45. Then I think tomorrow is Calais post-practice. And then the next day, if I remember right, which is not Wednesday, I think it's Thursday, is OC, DeFilippo first, and then Nick Foles, if I remember that right. We're talking about Jake Fromm. Who's got it better than Jake Fromm? Like, and my whole point of this is, like, we talked about this the other day. College life is not a bad life.
No, not at all.
Especially when you're at Georgia or Florida or Florida State or any, like, you get a pretty good life. Especially when you come from a family that does fine. There's no financial stress, right, for you. And when you're the face of the program, especially of a program like Georgia, then it's a pretty dang good situation. Think he's not the legend that Tim Tebow was here, but he's in a little bit of Tim Tebow, like, lore of Georgia modern day, right?
The difference is he can, if they win, Tebow won one national championship and was a rock star and a big fan base. But our state is legit split into 2.5 functions. We're doing Tebow's time, legit, like, there was...
Call it three, really, because we'll take half for Georgia, half for Miami, seriously.
Yeah. So like, if you, if, yep. Yeah, there are two holes and
right, two halves, yes.
If he wins Georgia, he legit has the whole state.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'll have some people in southern Georgia who like Tallahassee, because Tallahassee's, they're, you know, you go ABC... Mm-hmm. That's your channel. It's ABC, Moultrie, Tallahassee. Like,
right.
We're your main news in Tallahassee.
Yep.
So you're going to see more FSU than you see Georgia. But still, it's the state school. The flagship of the state. I mean, you got Georgia Tech in Atlanta for a little bit. But for the most part, everybody has a dream of going to Athens. And if you can somehow take them to the promised land, he'll probably be able to run for mayor. He'll be a bigger rock star.
No question.
Not mayor, excuse me, for governor. He'll be a bigger rock star than Tim Tebow.
Who's the biggest? Give me the biggest Georgia quarterback in the history of the most famous Georgia quarterback. Most
Matt Robinson.
I love Matty. Like, when you say Georgia quarterback, like, you can't, right? Matt Stafford?
David
Green?
Yeah, David Green.
David Green. I mean, Aaron Murray's the all-time passing leader.
Yeah.
But he will be that guy. Even if he just stays 2 years, and let's say they don't win a natty, let's say they get beat in the SEC championship 2 years, and he goes to, what would that take him to, 4 in a row?
Yeah.
No, they didn't go.
Yeah, they won in Alabama, didn't go.
That's right. Okay. So let's just say that happens. So he's at, right now he's seventh on their all-time passing list. He's, assuming he stays healthy, he's going to move up to fourth. He's going to pass Bobo, Quincy Carter, and Matt Stafford this year. Now, he's probably not going to get to number one. Aaron Murray threw for 13,000 yards. That's a crap ton of yards. Jake's at 50, right at 5,400. So let's just say he throws for 3,000 this year. That gets him to 8,400, and he throws for 3,000 the next year. That puts him somewhere at number two. Right? But it certainly, if they go to the SEC championship, even one of those years, makes him the identifiable, outside of Herschel Walker, Georgia football player.
True.
Like, you're going to walk away from that. Like, and oh, by the way, your heir apparent in Carson Beck has already been told, if Jake decides to stay, you're sitting. Already been told that. No promises made. So you got no worries.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a guy who I heard knew Carson's dad and said that they got him a Kia Lorento. It was souped up, though. Like, he had the leather carpet, not even leather seats, just the carpet. The carpet was all leather, and you have to take your shoes off to get into the car. And it's and the seats are made of baby whales. they put out all the stops from Georgia to get him to go there. And I heard they paid his trainer.
Yeah, his trainer didn't get anything.
15 Bitcoin.
Couple of Duval Ford text line, 478 says, are you saying he can't physically throw the ball 50 yards or he isn't an accurate deep ball passer? I'm using 50. I'm saying he can't physically throw it much further than 50. Consistently. I am saying that. Now, he's as good as they come inside of 20. 806er, Trevor Lawrence has it the best because that outstanding offense, and Tua because of Nick Saban. I don't think either one of them have it better, because I'm going to tell you why. Tua will never be the face of Alabama. Never. And whatever Tua does, it's not going to surprise Alabama. Alabama's been there, done that. Like, Trevor has set a really high bar for himself, and I think he'll live up to it. But Trevor's just counting down the days. He's the number one overall pick. Clemson knows that. The Clemson fan base knows that. Mm. Like, Clemson ain't even good and Trevor'd out. Like, Georgia is already Jake Fromm. You give him two more years and he's legendary. I can't think of anybody that's got it better.
Yeah, we'll know more about Trevor this year. As a sophomore, he'll be able to come into his own, have a little more personality. But
oh, he's going to kill it.
I mean, not playing-wise. I'm talking about, like, just
the legend.
Yeah, as a person. Like, we don't know who he is. This is ridiculous. God.
Dude, they're losing.
It doesn't matter. He shouldn't have made that shot, man. That's not even fundamental.
You know, you hate Golden State so much and for no reason.
Light-skinned devils, man. My man he was just dribbling, like, just threw it up. I'm like, come on, man. That's not even fair. Like, this guy can't even make it 20 feet from the basket. He's going to shoot from the Portland logo.
Oh, that wasn't him. I was about to say, why did he pass it? 95-83, Portland leading with a minute left in the third.
They're coming back. They're going to win.
State's going to win by 10.
They're going to win.
We'll be back tomorrow night. It'll be an hour later, but we will be here, coffee in hand, from 10 to midnight. Make sure you get by ABC. Make sure you get by ThinMD. Make sure if you got crappy air, you give Loose Air Quality a call. And if you got anything that hurts at all, go get it checked out. at Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. If you want to stay on the air, then that's what we need you to do.
TheHumidor.com.
Yes, and TheHumidor.com. Go visit it daily. Daily. Order cigars daily. Put it in the sports den when you check out. We'll see you tomorrow night.